Okay, we've made it this far. This is another episode of Ryan Seaman and Friends. I'm bringing on somebody I've known for almost 20 years now, which is kind of unbelievable, right? I've almost known you for 20 years. And I met him on the Warped Tour 2002, and he was one of my first friends that I ever had in Los Angeles. Literally, I didn't know a single soul here, and he kind of took me out and under his wing, and we got to hang out a whole lot. So he sings for Death by Stereo, Voodoo Gold Skulls, and Manic Hispanic. So I'm bringing on Ephraim Schultz. Ephraim, how are you doing, my friend?
What's up, dude? I'm great. It's really good to see you. I'm talking to you from inside my new car. You haven't seen my Ferrari yet.
Your new car? You got a Ferrari? No way.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting in it right now.
Sick.
I'm in the Ferrari right now.
Yeah.
Are you down with the Ferrari or what?
I'm down if you are. I'm down to take a ride sometime when all of this craziness passes.
Dude, you know? Fantastic.
Yeah. So Ephraim, just thanks so much for being on the show, man. I know you got a lot of things going on, and you know. I wanted to bring you on here though because I always try to talk about how people got their start and where they're at today. I bring on people that I think are just genuinely rad, and you know, just wanted to have you on, bro, and it's an excuse to just catch up and learn a little more about you than maybe I didn't know before, you know, and for everybody listening
out
there.
Friends.
Yeah, for sure. Virtually. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. So Ephraim, where did everything like start for you? Like music and just everything? Because you grew up in Southern California like your whole life.
Fullerton.
Right? Fullerton?
Yeah, most of my life. I lived a lot of my life in Fullerton, a little bit in Buena Park, La Habra. Like I kind of bounced around North Orange County.
Mostly SoCal, yeah.
Yeah. And most of my years were in Fullerton. I was born in the South Bay in Torrance, California.
Okay. Not too far.
At the little company of Mary Hospital.
Okay.
And and I got into music. I always liked music when I was a kid, whether it was like Michael Jackson or the Beach Boys. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just loved music. And in the 80s, me and my older brother were so into music and like getting into bands, and I was just discovering bands. So I don't think I had like any, you know, when music's great when you're young because you don't have preconceived notions of what's cool.
Sure. Yeah. You just like, you hang out with your friends and they turn you onto things. I mean, like I got turned on to punk rock just by hanging out with like friends in my neighborhood, you know, and they'd show me stuff. And then I would learn about that and then kind of do like a, you know, deep dive into everything else.
Absolutely. So. And even when you're way, way, way younger, when it's like, you don't even know what music is. You know what I mean? You just see something and it looks cool.
Right.
Like as a little kid, I could have looked at like the cover of like the Transformers movie soundtrack or the Village, right? Or the Village People record. And they both would have looked cool.
Totally, yes.
You know what I mean? Oh, it's a construction worker and an Indian and like, right? Like,
oh yeah, totally.
I like that.
You just wanted to get into it. Okay, so you're listening. I mean, like, what influenced you to become a singer and like start punk rock bands and like?
Well,
you know, I mean, you've been in the scene forever, Ephraim. Like, everybody knows you in Southern California. You're almost like the mayor of the SoCal punk and hardcore scene.
It's
you know,
so weird.
I honestly believe that. But
I think I heard punk for the first time in the sixth grade. I was skateboarding with some friends at the schoolyard of our elementary school. And this older like kid that was skating around, we're like, oh, he looks super cool. And he had a little boombox and he brought it over and he played us the Toy Dolls. He showed me the Toy Dolls. That's the first punk I heard. And I was just like mesmerized by it. And I'd always look in Thrasher magazine and there would be these ads for like bands. And I'd be like, what is that? Like, dude, like, what is Black Flag?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, for the people that don't know what Thrasher magazine is, it was like a skating magazine and
absolutely
that's how,
greatest skateboard magazine of all time. And they would have all these ads for these indie labels and all these interviews with cool like underground bands and like I started seeing bands in there, and then I remember ordering an Adolescence 7-inch out of Thrasher magazine out of a mail order in an ad.
Totally.
And it didn't come for like a year. And I remember I was devastated. Like I never got my record.
What?
And yeah. And it didn't come. And like a year later, it came in the mail. And fast forward like 80 million years, I became friends with Steve Soto, you know?
Yeah.
And
that's awesome too. RIP. But
unbelievable. You know. The best dude ever. Right. I never thought I'd be friends with him. Whoa. And
there's a lot of people I feel that way about, yourself included, you know? I mean,
no,
like,
dude.
First time I ever saw you guys was with, it was like with like Hope Conspiracy and, Boy Sets Fire and Sick of It All at in Salt Lake, and you came out in the crowd,
man,
and I was like,
that.
Who is this guy? Like, this is nuts. And that's the first time I heard of your band. Yeah, in Salt Lake City. The hardest fucking, you know, the hardcore scene was pretty insane there. Like, not in a good way.
Dude,
it was pretty bad.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was like bands would be afraid to come to Salt Lake, you know?
There was a couple times when we played there where I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right.
Dude?
Like, you're not sure if, like, people are going to try to, like, jump your band or if you're going to be able to perform that night. I mean, I've seen it all there. But, okay, so we're going back to you, though. I'm sorry.
So, anyways, California, I never got my Adolescence record. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was all bummed. And many, many years later, talking to Steve Soto, and I remember telling him, I'm all, hey, man, I ordered the Welcome to Reality 7-inch on purple vinyl out of Thrasher magazine to the address in the ad the Adolescence had in it.
Sure.
And I go, it took like a year to come, and I remember I was all devastated, and then it finally came, and he goes, where did you live? And I'm all, well, in Fullerton. He's all, what street? And I told him the corner where I lived, and he goes, dude, we literally were like 6 blocks from you or something, and we used to get those envelopes in the mail and just rip them and throw the letter away and like go buy beer.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. The Adolescence, man. Oh, my, dude.
The best band ever.
What a different time, for sure.
Oh, a much different time. And right. It's rather he told me that, and I'm like, I'm so stoked that that's what happened to my record.
So you get into Adolescence, and then you decide, like, yo, how – like you started going to, like, shows and stuff and just being in the California punk scene and hardcore scene and stuff
like that.
I mean,
I was in the eighth grade, and a kid named Steven Cordero came to my school, my junior high, and we became friends because I didn't really hang out with anybody. I just kind of – sat in the field by myself or whatever, you know
what
I mean? And like hung out with a couple other kids, but there was just nobody at school that had interests similar to mine, you know?
Yeah,
and
I can relate.
Totally. And Steven was a Hesher, but he really liked music and he was really nice to me. So we just started hanging out every day, and we'd go hang out at his grandparents' house where he lived. And his grandfather was this really interesting guy. His name was Jose, and he was blind, but he played bass guitar and drums and organ.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he would cruise around to old folks' homes playing gigs, and he would sing like old-timey songs.
Oh man, that's rad.
Yeah,
okay, so you got influenced
by
him.
I got my hands on instruments for the first time.
Holy shit. No, I didn't know any of that. Okay.
Yeah.
So you get your hands on instruments. Like, when do you start like your first band, or what's
we started banging on the instruments and making noise.
Yeah.
Like at probably the end of eighth grade into the ninth grade. And like, I learned how to play Boys Don't Cry on bass. Do, 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 do,
awesome.
Do, do,
yep.
Do, do, do,
totally.
You know, and we started just making noise. And we had so many made up bands over the years. We had a band called Ham. We had so many bands that just nobody will ever know about or would have ever heard.
Same here.
And then my first real band came after high school, if you could call it a real band, but I was in a band called Clint, but that was the first band I was in that like
did
played
something.
Shows.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We played shows and one DIY tour, and we made a 7-inch and a, you know, and a CD and like, but it's like, if nobody look for that, cause it's probably won't find it. And it's not good. I played guitar and sang on it. And it's just pure noise. I can't.
Whatever, man. Hey, you know, it's everybody always has to start somewhere. That's what I say. You know,
totally.
So it's not. Yeah. No, hey, it's just a part of your story. It's part of your journey.
And while I was in that band, I started playing backyard parties with another band called Kleenex, who featured Paul Miner and Jim Miner.
Yep. Wow. Okay, so you meet them at a backyard party.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, weren't some of, like, this is sort of off topic, but weren't, like, some of those parties with, like, or maybe this is much later, I don't remember, but, like, didn't you guys do, like, shows with, like, Avenged Sevenfold, like, back in the day, like, in just back?
Oh, dude, our first show and Atreyu's first show was the same show.
That's crazy. Where was that? Just, like, in, just
at
a dude's...
Esperanza High School, where our drummer Jared had just graduated.
And now Jared plays for, now he plays for My Chemical.
Fucking...
Right? Yeah,
My Chemical Romance and like Alkaline Trio. It's like
so
what?
Crazy. Yeah, I know, man.
What?
Jared's such a great drummer, dude. I did one of my first tours with him like years ago.
Which tour?
He was playing drums for A Static Lullaby. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then I was in a band called I Am Ghost at the time, and that was our first it was our first like national, you know, U.S. run. So
dude, you guys we're getting like really big.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, it was a time.
You were like the new wave of bands on like Epitaph, you know?
Yeah, cool. I mean, yeah, my dream was always to make it to like Punkorama. You know, remember when they
Oh, dude, I know.
And I missed the cut, man. I totally missed the cut.
Oh, you didn't get on one?
No. I was like, they put out this thing called like Unsound.
Unsound, I remember.
Oh, man. I was like, that was like retreat. That's how I found out about Epitaph bands, man.
You know what's funny?
Like, your band was on there too. I was like going to this place called Orion's Music Shop in Park City.
Oh, yeah.
And like, man. In Utah. And, yeah, just get the Punkorama, like, booklet. I think I got Punkorama 2 first, because Punkorama 1, really, you couldn't really find it that much, you know?
Punkorama CDs were like the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like the new playlist, man. Yeah.
Dude, that's a really cool era. And at that time, we were on a... Excuse
so you're
me,
back. You're
COVID.
Back with Paul Miner and Jim, and you're starting a band, and you know.
Oh yeah, I was gonna start talking about Epitaph. Paul and Jim.
I know we're hopping around everywhere. It's just I have the worst ADHD ever.
Totally.
And I love that you go with it. Okay.
They were in a band, Kleenex. We had met and become friends. There was also a local band called the Deacons that Jared was the drummer of. That was a real, and Ian was the guitar player. Ian, who was
Aquabats.
In the original lineup of Death by Stereo, who plays for Gerard Way and the Aquabats now.
Oh, so
as you know, and
yep,
for everybody out there. And right. So they had a band called the Deacons. Paul had become their bass player at that time. Then they kicked out their singer. And then I was like, oh, you guys are jamming? Are you guys keeping the name? Are you going to be a new band? And then my band had just broken up, and my band Clint, and I kept bugging Paul. And I'm all, well, can I at least just come, like, watch you guys play? I just want to see a live band,
right.
You know?
Sure.
And I sat in Jared's, like, spare bedroom at his mom's house. I, like, took the bus. I took the bus to their house. And
oh, man.
Right, and I watched them jam. I kept asking them. They kept being like, nah, we just kind of want to do something different. We don't know, you know. And I was like, all right. And then finally, I was like, dude, please, let me just try. And then I showed up. I brought a tape recorder with me, a cassette recorder, and right. I recorded them playing a song. And then at the end, Ian gave me the lyrics to the song, and he was like, all right, here's the lyrics. You've got the song recorded. Come back tomorrow. And I came back with all new lyrics that I threw his away. And I think they're a little bummed. But then that song ended up becoming our first song on Punkorama.
Really?
Ow!
Oh, my
yeah.
God. What was that song called?
Called Looking Out for Number One.
Looking Out for Number One. Do you think I could show people that song right now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Look Around?
Dude. Looking Out for Number
Looking
One.
Looking Out for Number One. Jesus. Okay, I'll edit that. Okay.
Dude, it's on Punkorama 5. It's on our first record. But, dude, yeah. Fucking. And they just let me hang out. And I just kept showing up. And then it just kind of steamrolled. And then we started playing, like, backyard parties.
Yeah.
And different things. And we all kind of said to each other, we're all our friends from different local bands that want to be in a band that actually works, you know,
right.
That does
yep.
something.
I feel that 100%.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then we just did. I don't know how, dude, we ended up making, Paul had a 4-track recorder at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, yo, Paul Miner has his own studio.
That's sick though. Yeah. That's how you have to start off, man. I mean, I don't know.
You remember that stuff? 4 tracks.
Of course. Dude, I used to make little like recording tapes, and I would try to like, get on shows. I was like 14,
really?
I was like 14 or something. I was in like a ska band, and I would just like go to these other like local shows, and I'd hand out like a legit demo tape and be like, here, check this
That's
out.
Rad.
You know, I was like, that was like 20, oh my God, that was like 20 some odd years ago now, maybe like 23 years ago.
Being were like you 14. Only playing drums ever?
Yeah. Like, in well, I was playing bass in a couple local punk rock bands, but I mean, none of those really did anything. So like the ones I was playing drums for did. So.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck with drums, but I mean, I've been playing bass probably just as long as I've been playing drums. I think I've been playing drums a few years longer, but yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my story, you know? So now I'm like,
it's
I send
cool.
ideas to like my singer, like through the internet, and because we're, mm-hmm. we're separated at the moment.
That's
but,
how we're all kind of doing it now. Too,
yeah.
You know?
Yep. So, well, dude, I want to play a song from you guys right now. And mm-hmm. this is your band. This is Death by Stereo. So it's on
yes,
Punkorama 5. Looking Out for Number One. Here it is. Ha ha ha! Ow! Yeah, Ephraim. Sorry. No one's ever going to hear that story. Dude, when I was a kid, Ephraim would get me into places that I couldn't go.
Oh, shit.
The Tropics Lounge. You remember that place?
In Fullerton,
yeah.
A bar that
I would try to go see shows. I would just try to go see shows. I'd try to go hang out and do the damn thing. And you're my dude. That's all I got to say, man.
Dude, we always hung out. And then we went to sketchy bars and saw sketchy things.
Yes, we did.
But now we're older.
We're older and wiser, you know?
Yeah, we are, dude. Oh,
we just want to have fun. That's all.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. We just want to play music and have fun.
So okay, so what? now you're in the band. You're in Death by Stereo. What happens next?
So you're
playing around California. I mean, how did you guys, you know, get signed and started and just all of it?
Okay,
like, with you.
Well,
you
know? Paul had just gotten an internship at a studio called For the Record that did a bunch of like bigger local records and some big bands too. Like
what era was this? Like it was like the 90s.
This is
right?
1998.
Okay. Yeah.
And so Paul had an internship there and he was like, yo, if I work some gigs for the guy, he'll give us free time at 4 a.m. The classic story.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You
Good
know,
time. Of course.
And so we made our demo there. And then Dave, who does Indecision Records, Dave Mandel.
Oh, yeah.
Rad guy. He the best dude. He. Paul knew him. Paul gave him the demo. We started giving that tape to everybody. And around that time, we had just met the AFI guys because we had written them a letter from their first 7-inch that said, if you want a sticker or a patch, like send us a self-addressed stamp envelope.
That's so nuts, man.
I swear.
Just hearing these
and they
stories,
wrote, we met them through the mail. They wrote Paul back because I was all, Paul, send in for a sticker. I want one too, you know?
Yeah.
And like they wrote Paul back and they're like, hey, we're coming down to play a show. Do you live near Corona? Can we stay at your house? And they played at the showcase for like 50 people or whatever and stayed on Paul's mom's floor.
AFI.
And they did that. They did that a few times.
Yeah.
But, you were on the podcast with Hunter a long time ago. With
I was. Sorry, yeah. I was in a side project with him too. That when we opened up for you at Chain Reaction.
Revenge, that's right.
Yeah. We
that's
opened up for right. you at Chain and we opened up for you
at the Troubadour.
Yeah. Jeez.
Dude, that's right.
And Ginger was in the band too. She went on to play for Smashing Pumpkins. Like what the
I
hell,
haven't
you
seen
know?
Her in years.
Yeah.
In years I haven't seen her.
Yeah.
Man, Hunter Revenge is one of my favorite bands, dude.
But, it was a fun time. We never got the tour. I never toured with Hunter, but we would just play like LA and stuff. So you know.
A tangent.
Yes, sir.
There was a whole tour where we were playing with AFI. It was like on the East Coast and Eastern Canada or some shit. Mm-hmm. And every night I would get a size medium shirt from the DBS merch bin and we'd take scissors and cut the back and tape it with black gaff on Hunter and he'd run out on stage and all like WWF, I'd rip his shirt off with one hand and he'd be out and then he'd cover his nipples and run off the stage and like, and then after a few nights, I will say that maybe some guys in another band said, hey man, can you stop doing that, man? Like, it was awesome.
But, he was always a prankster, though. You know, ever since.
Oh, Hunter's the best. He's like one of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my life.
I know he's super cool. I'm gonna have him on my show at some point. But okay.
Oh, dude, you have to.
I know
that'll be the best conversation ever.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so we met AFI at that time. We started just meeting bands and meeting people really fast. It was super weird. We gave them our demo tape. We gave everyone our demo tape.
Right.
And our demo tape. And no,
I mean, that's what it was, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you had to just have them on hand and be ready, you know?
Right.
Right?
And totally.
David Indecision came to see us at this coffee shop called Coos Cafe that was in Santa Ana.
I know Coos. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Coos, yeah.
Okay.
I went to the one by Long Beach. That was my only experience of Coos. But yeah, I saw
Coos Long Beach. That was Coos number two. No way.
I used to live around the corner from there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Pretty rough part of town, but it was rad. I was living in this like upstairs loft or something, you know?
That's cool, man.
Yeah, right off of Broadway. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay, so you're playing at Coos Cafe.
Dave Mandel from Indecision Records showed up. We all walked down the streets to Norm's, ate some food together. And over that food, he basically said, I want to put out your record. We put out our first record on Indecision. Our first tour was with AFI up the West Coast.
That's sick.
Solid first tour. And then we just started doing a lot of DIY touring around the country. And by 99, we couldn't believe it, dude. Dude, by 99, Paul had gotten a message on his answering machine because we didn't all have phones yet.
We all had
those, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, like, hey, Paul, this is Brett Gerwitz. Like, give me a call. And I remember he was like, hey, check this out. And we thought it was our friend Ryan Clark. We're all fucking stupid, Ryan. And we never called back. And like, dude, he called again. And we thought it was a joke. And then his assistant, Jolene, called. Remember Jolene? Jolene called and Paul answered. And she's like, hey, this is Jolene Chavez. I'm from Epitaph Records. Brett Gerwitz has been trying to find you, you know? And like, Paul was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's how that happened. And then by 2000, we signed at like the end of 99. We were still touring through 2000 on our first record. Yeah. And then by 2001, we had our first Epitaph record out.
Yeah, I was going to say when I'm Ghost got signed to Epitaph, Brett sent like a MySpace message.
No, it's so, you know, weird. Like,
and so people were like, you know, Singer was like, nah. This isn't real. Like,
not
whatever.
Him.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, exactly.
This is a fake. This is a catfish. Except
there was no blue seal yet.
Yeah, there was no catfish even, you know, terminology mm-hmm. back then. So,
dude. Yeah. Dude, I often say like there's a small handful of people that completely changed my life.
Totally.
And Dan Mandel and Brett Gerwitz are two of those people. Of the very small handful of people that like changed
100%.
I mean, yeah, because we got to make records. I mean, what else? Where the fuck would we be if we didn't make those records, man? You know,
dude,
right?
I know. I think about that all the time. I mean, it's just I've been going so, you know, so strong since like, and I don't mean like in an egotistical way. I just mean like,
no.
I'm just hitting it hard since like 2002. You know what I mean? I just haven't stopped.
You've been fucking going crazy since then, dude.
Just going ham. Yeah, I mean, I think I just came up to you after you guys were on like the Volcom stage or something. I was just like, hey dude, I'm Ryan, your band's tight, nice to meet you. And then
we
started hanging out.
That was it
dude. Right then and there. I remember on that tour for some reason you all decided like you weren't going to shave your mustaches or something. Like,
oh, that's right,
out.
We all grew mustaches. and then
I was like,
do you remember though we got like a bunch of people to grow mustaches. And then we all shaved ours off, and then everybody's like,
what "You're like, what's
fuck?
The deal?"
Yeah,
that's so good. Another side tangent, like of AFI. One of my
yeah.
local bands at the time. We were like the token support band in Salt Lake City.
Right.
So like, anytime there was like a bigger punk band that wanted to come through, we would always be like the openers because we could sell
okay.
tickets, you know, or
yeah.
you're willing to do whatever it took to get on that show.
You guys were the band that you want to open for you when you go through town. That's
sure,
gonna work
yes.
hard. And
yes, and bring
bust
people
their
out.
Ass
and yeah, totally. In. Yeah. So like, we opened up for AFI, and it was a makeup show for them because their power kept going out on this Rancid Distillers tour.
Oh, that sucks.
And so yeah, they had like
I have that poster.
You
that
do?
Tour.
Oh, that's sick.
Brain.
So yeah. they came to Salt Lake City, and I remember we were direct support, and we were playing our songs, and people were just chanting AFI the entire time, and they booed us and they threw shit at us. And told us to get the fuck off the stage, and that's what it's like being an opening band back then, you know? Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, everybody goes through, you know, the times. But it sounds like at this point
you?
In your story that you're on top. You're like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
going, you're touring. You're.
It's like starting you know. To get.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, I know what it's like to get booed off stage. This is another tangent. Can I tell you
yeah.
about
sure.
one of the greatest getting booed off stages of all time.
I would love to hear about it.
So we did a tour, like in 05, we made, which we'll get to this.
Okay.
We made our last record on Epitaph. And at that point we had gotten really fucking metal. And like,
okay.
I mean,
yeah,
metal, that last record was heavy on Epitaph. And we were touring with metal bands, but we discovered quickly that although we had gotten heavier and realized, we might be the heaviest band in the punk scene, but in the metal scene, we're a joke. You know what I mean? Like, dude.
Right.
you know?
Sure. No, totally.
So we did get on a bunch of metal tours, and at that moment we had Metal Management. We were with Sanctuary, and we, you know, metal. And
yeah,
and that's
totally.
And that's why we weren't on that last Epitaph comp when they changed the name, because our manager at the time was like, "Goodbye punk rock, man. This record's way too heavy to be on that." And I remember we were like, "Is it?" Like, damn it,
oh, man. And you're trusting these guys. They're a big management company, you know.
Yeah, like, dude, you've been in my shoes where it's like, well, they must know. They just made millions of dollars for all these other guys, or whatever, you
right.
know.
And you listen to, you know, you listen to your gut, but then you're listening to people that are advising you.
100%. And so we take a tour with the band Soulfly, who are amazing, best dudes ever. So righteous.
I don't listen to their drummer, but yeah, I don't listen to their band, but I'm sorry, I mixed my words up. I don't listen to that band, but their drummer is incredible. I saw him live in Chicago. I went with my friend for some reason. He was like, "You want to go see this band Soulfly?" I was like, "I guess." There was nothing going on.
And it fucking was great, right?
And he was amazing. I'm telling you, I don't listen to that stuff, but he was, you know, he was off the
totally.
You know, so like mad props.
You know, the caliber of musicians in those bands is
right.
just
totally.
And I'm a fan. I've been a Sepultura fan for years. Like, we were like, "Oh, these are going to be big shows.
Sure,
they're going to be really cool." And
you know what? I'm an idiot. I have to edit my story. It wasn't Soulfly. It was Seven Dust.
Oh, dude!
I was just thinking about it. I was just like, I don't listen to that kind of. I mean, Soulfly.
Whole different
Seven
ball
Dust.
Game.
Sure, but I just
do
wasn't.
Have a great drummer. Seven Dust has a shredding drummer.
No,
though.
I was talking about the guy from Seven Dust.
What's his
I don't
name?
Listen to that music.
He's got like
I
brain.
Don't know. Yeah, he's really tight. But I got to see
guy.
Them like
so,
yeah, a couple years ago.
So
I'm just editing
on,
myself.
Dude,
okay, sorry, brother. All right.
So we're on tour with Soulfly, and Aldo, like Max, the singer, super into old punk and thrash and all that. And sometimes it doesn't translate to band's fans, and fans don't like what the band's like, as you know.
Sure.
And so their fans, dude, just waiting for them to come on. It was like playing with Slayer, you know, like just
sure.
a wall of hate, you know? And
yeah, they're only there for the headliner. Yeah, I get that.
Right.
Yep. Arms
and
crossed.
They would chant their name. And dude, we were kind of like on a roll at that point, and we were going on tour with like Alkaline Trio and AFI and, you know, Pennywise and all this world.
Yeah.
And we're trying to cross over to a new world where, dude, honestly, dude, it was like nobody gave a fuck. We were like, "Holy shit!"
It's not weird when that happens, man. You know?
Yeah, we just played in Santa Barbara with Bad Religion, and the whole room was spinning in a circle, and they knew the words to the songs, and you know what I mean? Like, so.
No, totally. I've been on tours, man, where like, you know, they don't know what the hell to think of like the second band. You know?
Totally.
Like. Or whatever, like the direct support or whatever it is you're on.
Yeah.
They don't know what to think at all. They don't know what they're expecting. So.
And you're opening for bands that like are fucking great. You know what I mean? So the caliber is high, you know? The bar is set
totally.
High. So
100%.
We're playing Soulfly, and they're all the most unbelievable musicians, obviously. And super cool dudes, hanging out, radness, super into punk, like. We had a few good shows, mostly bad, but the last show was in Tempe, Arizona at the Marquee.
Love that spot.
You know the spot.
Of course. Yeah, it's great.
It's amazing. So we're at the Marquee. It's the last show of the tour. We get on stage, dude, and it is just a really unfriendly crowd, like the most unfriendly of the whole tour. You know, like bored, like looking at us on purpose, leaning on the barrier, and I'm... And I'm just like, man, I was just at the Marquee with Suicide Machines, and it fucking went off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So
they were there to party and get ready for just the night in general.
Exactly. And so I was like, man, fuck, what the fuck? And like, dude, people were being fucking dicks. And dude, we're playing. People are yelling shitty comments between songs. No clapping.
Yeah.
Quiet. And then someone in the front, this dude. Throws a full water bottle as hard as he can, and it hits our old drummer Todd square in the nose.
Oh my god!
While he's playing, dude. And dude, he's playing his heart out for a thousand people that hate us, you know.
Right.
And dude, I turn around and he's like, ah, ah, like I could tell it hurt him really bad.
Yeah.
And like, dude, to his credit, everything fell apart, and then he just was like, boop-bap, 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 got back on that state cutter beat. Boop-bap, 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 boop-bap. You know?
Yeah, he's a great drummer too, you know, Todd.
Oh, he's amazing.
He rips. Yeah.
And dude, I couldn't take it. I fucking grabbed the water bottle off the floor. I dove off the stage and kind of like hit the barrier. And dude, I mushed that guy's face with that water bottle, dude.
Oh, you saw him physically. Okay.
Yeah. And I just, dude, I jumped down and it's all boom. Like, dude, boom. And the dude was all, and then all these people around were like, fuck you, all his friends. But then I realized, shit, not everybody in this theater probably realizes what happened and just saw me jump down and smash the dude's face with a full water bottle.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So people started throwing stuff at me.
Jeez.
So I'm on the barricade.
Oh, my God.
Like, tangled up with this dude, and people start throwing, like the, you know, the plastic beer bottles, not the glass ones, fortunately.
Yeah, cans, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Plastic beer bottles and cans start getting thrown at me, and then people start booing. And I get up and I'm like, holy shit. And people are like, you fucking asshole. And I get back on the stage and the whole band's looking at me like, what the fuck? And they're still playing. Oh, and I just get in the mic and I'm all, you know what? Fuck you. I'm all, bring it. I'm all, fucking bring it. I'm all, bring the fucking hate. And the whole place is throwing trash. And I'm all, more. And then Dan looks at me, I remember, he's like, what are you doing? And then he just starts laughing. There's so much trash.
Bottles, you can do.
Bottles. Getting hit in the chest, like, ooh, with, like, a can.
Yep.
Like, dude, it was a shower of trash. And, dude, the whole Soulfly band and crew, they're all just, like watching this go down. Like,
oh, my God.
It was amazing. So, right, and I'm the whole time, the song ends, and I'm all right, thanks a lot. We've got three more. And they're all, throwing trash at us. Dude, we stretched it out. We played it. And then we hit our last song. We get off the side of the stage. I'm all, dude, at the time, our friend Brian, we called him the emo because he looked like an emo mole.
Yeah.
You know the emo. So we were, I'm all, someone's got to go get emo from merch. He's probably going to get murdered out there, you know? And so we get him packed out. We're running with our gear to the van because we feel like the whole crowd is just going to mob us, you know? They're like going to, they look like they want to murder us.
Sure.
And we run out the back door and we see the Soulfly whole crew band and Max's wife Gloria, who's the manager, and we're like, I stop and look at her and I go, thank you so much for this tour, thank you so much for this opportunity, this is one of the coolest things I've ever done, like, you guys are great, we gotta go, I think we're gonna get killed. And we ran out and got the manager.
I shouldn't be laughing at that, but you're just, it's the delivery and just who you are as a person. Oh my God. that I know. Yeah, jeez, dude. That's so fucking funny. So that must have been like, so Death by Stereo is going strong for a while, and then you get a call. You decide, like, hey, I'm gonna go play for Voodoo Glow Skulls. I mean, like,
dude,
I used to love that band when I was a kid, man. Like,
dude,
my old band opened up for him in Utah, and like one of the craziest shows I've
played. Voodoo in Utah?
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. They played multiple times in Utah, but man, every time they'd come to Salt Lake, man, it just went off, and they always did the best shows, man. I'm telling you, it was like sold out, sweat coming off the ceilings, stage diving, head walking, front flipping.
Dude, that's so great. I love that.
I'm telling you, it was just a different time, man. And you know,
it was
literally one of the craziest shows I've ever been to. Like, even to this day, I always talk about it. It's like, it was a VGS and Bucko 9 and Link 80, you know? That was the bill.
Dude, Link 80, dude.
Yeah, remember that band? Yeah, they were sick.
Yeah, and Bucko 9 still killing
it. Yeah, crushes, you know? Pepsworth, man. Dude. Yeah.
We played a really cool show, dude.
Yeah.
It was the cool – dude, we were so stoked and blown away by the Boston's are the coolest.
Well, this was with Voodoo, right? With Voodoo Glow Skulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The kindest dudes ever. The Boston's flew us out to play. They have a fest called Crankin' and Skankin' in, I think it's near
Boston?
Rhode Islandish.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Boston,
yeah.
Rhode Islandish,
sure.
Somewhere.
Okay.
And, like, out in this, like, parking lot between these old-ass brick buildings that look all Boston-y, and, like, it was, they brought us and Bucko 9 out, dude. It was so rad, dude.
That's sick.
It was great to see Bucko 9.
Oh, no, they're great, man. And their trumpet player was always sick, too. Like, just hitting all the high notes, man, you know?
Death by Stereo played with Bucko 9, actually, once at the X Games.
What? Where was that?
Yeah. That was in, that was a long time ago,
was that
dude.
In California or, like?
Yeah. Yeah, the X Games in L.A. We played 3X Games, I think. The LA ones. They were like Carson or something.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But
that's dope.
Yeah, for some reason DBS, we got all this X Games love back in the day. It was cool.
Yeah. So you're playing for Voodoo, right? You get the call. Like what happens? I mean, how do you because like Dan, your guitar player, is in Zebrahead, and you're also in Voodoo Glow Skulls and Manic Hispanic. I mean, like how do you manage your time? Like how do you do that?
Dude, I kind of don't know, man. To be honest with you, dude, like Voodoo and Death by Stereo now have the same booking agent, which makes things a lot easier.
Oh yeah, for sure, because he wants to make sure you guys that so he's keeping you working. Okay, yeah, that makes
totally
sense.
And DBS, I'm the only one that can't be filled in for.
Right,
which totally sucks. But we make it work. We have like our buddies that like we can call. You know, if someone can't, like Todd's come out and filled in for a few things, and you know, Jared's done it in the past. Like everybody helps out and pitches in, kind of. So it's cool.
Sure.
It just kind of works out. You know, like I've always said it too. One of these days, dude, like Todd's gonna be like, I can't go, and I'm gonna be like, fuck yeah, Ryan's coming.
Oh. Dude, if I ever get time off, man, I'd be down, dude. You know, I think your band's fucking sick.
Dude.
Yeah, no, it'd be so dope. Speaking of which, this would also be a great time to play another DBS song, just so people can see like what the band's all about.
I think a newer song would be cool.
Okay, so tell me about the song you want to play, and then we'll do it.
This is one of my favorite songs on the record. It's called Mass
From Death by Stereo.
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Mass Self Destruct. And I don't know, man. I feel like we're just trying to, like, try new things, experiment. I sing a little bit with a vocoder on it for just a little part. But, like I'm just trying to push Death by Stereo into somewhere different a little bit. You know, I can't make the same record forever, you know?
Right. No, I totally get that. All right, cool. Well, here it is from Death by Stereo. Let's go.
Mass Self-Destruct.
All right. We're back. Yeah. I always do this laugh when I come in the show. It just gets less funny every time. It's very like Andy Kaufman humor, you know?
Yes, I love it.
But it's also so I know where to edit the
Andy
episodes.
Andy Kaufman, dude.
The most non-funniest comedian probably ever in life. He's so dark, though.
Genius.
He's dark. He might still be alive. I don't know. That's a theory. I mean, people think he's dead. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not, you know?
How old would he be?
Oh, geez. 60s?
50s?
Yeah.
60s?
50s, 60s, yeah, for sure.
Probably 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Or early 60s?
Yeah. So, okay, the last time I wanted to tell you, last time I saw Voodoo Glow Skulls, I was in Nashville. And you guys were opening up for Reverend Horton Heat.
Who, it was
right?
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. That's like the last time I saw your band. I remember your guitar player, he came up to me, and he was just like, hey, man, like, my daughter is a massive IDK Howe fan. And I was like, what?
Oh,
like,
dude, that's so rad.
I was like, you're kidding me? So, yeah. And he was like, dude, I can't get my picture. I was like, of course. I want your picture, man. Like, we, you know, I loved VGS growing up, man. I'm telling you. Like, Band Geek Mafia
that's
was probably
so
one of
rad.
My favorite. One of my favorite ska punk records, you know?
Dude, when things are more normal, you got to come hang out at the Voodoo Studio sometime.
I would love that. I'd love for anything to happen right now, you know?
Eddie built a I know. Eddie built a recording studio behind his house. That's where we're making the Voodoo record.
That's sick.
That's so
dope, man. I can't wait to hear that for real. But
yeah.
So you're in the band. I mean, dude, I don't want to be controversial, but I was gonna say like that's gotta be kind of crazy, like to play for a band like Voodoo because they're all like they're all brothers, right? Like or three of them.
Yeah,
are.
And
wild.
Also like I
they
like
were.
Such a, I'm a big fan, like you, giant fan,
right?
And it makes me nervous because like, dude, like. Frank's are big shoes to fill, man. And like, you know,
I think you're a fantastic frontman and singer. So, you know,
I appreciate that a lot. And he's just got like, honestly too, Frank has these gigantic lungs, dude, because I've scrutinized those songs and there's such long passages where he never takes a breath. And I'm just like, dude, how does he do it? Like, dude, it's some of those songs are so hard to learn for the pure aspect of like, I can't make through this whole life. You know,
like how he's breathing versus how you breathe and like deliver notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
It's crazy. It took me a while to figure that out, dude. Like I was like, damn, dude, Frank rips, dude. Like, dude,
God,
you know?
That's nuts. Yeah. It's just like they kick out their brother and then, you know, you've toured with them, I'm sure a little bit here and there. And you know, they get to know you and they're like, yo, come fill the position. That's always crazy.
Dude, yeah. It's unbelievable. We did our first tour was full across Canada. We were in Canada for like over a month.
First
we did
tour
that
with them,
many
yeah.
shows.
Oh my
when,
God.
You know, when you do those
yeah,
big
yeah.
ones and you go to all the small
sure.
towns.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Voodoo in Canada was so rad. I was thinking, dude, this band is fucking awesome. And it just kept kind of steamrolling. We kept getting great tour offers. And then we started playing a ton of festivals. And for a lot of bands in 2020, like Voodoo, you're not getting a ton of U.S. festivals. And we were getting a ton.
That's great.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And then we started getting on, we got flown out to Chicago to play a Latin music festival where we were like the punk band of the day. But it was huge. It's
so,
like,
I mean,
Riot Fest.
Yeah. So between like, I was going to say, between all three of your bands, I'm like, how yeah. often are you on tour? Is it all the time?
Oh, dude. All year now. Like, since I joined yeah. Voodoo, just brah, busy, dude.
And then Death By? And just, you're just,
yep.
yeah.
We go, dude. And Manic doesn't really tour a lot. You know, it's kind of a fun band, joke band. But like,
yeah, you guys do like covers and stuff, right? And you
yeah,
sing,
and we
you
change
them
all into Mexican jokes.
Right.
Yeah, we change them into Mexican jokes. And we act like Cheech and Chong kind of, you know. But like
okay. yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. But we also just finished. I mean, we finished it a long time ago, but it's finally going to see the light of day, our album. I just got the
right.
test pressing today. The new Manic Hispanic record is called Back in Brown.
Okay. Right. Totally. Yeah. Back in Brown.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. And we do anything from Fugazi to Operation Ivy to Tom Petty on this record.
And it's like your own renditions of those songs.
Oh yeah.
That's so
like
awesome.
Tom Petty, we're doing Mexican Girl instead of American Girl.
Right. Sure. Totally. It's funny.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Whatever. Yeah.
So and it's a ton of fun. It's just goofy Cheech and Chong live band, you know, but we're putting the record out and we're actually going to probably start playing a lot more when things come back to normal. We had like a big release plan that got postponed. We had a big
right.
record release show, the whole thing. But, so when things come back, we'll figure it out. But, I know that Voodoo and DBS are going to get really busy because we just put out a DBS record. We almost have an entire new EP done.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yeah, and then
you have to come
Voodoo.
Back and play that for me.
Yes,
you know,
and all the new band stuff, and the new Voodoo is almost done, dude.
Dope. I can't wait to hear it,
dude. I people are gonna trip out. I think it's different, man. It's like Voodoo, but it also has like hardcore
dude,
scream.
They've always had their own sound, man. You can just tell when
oh,
it's
yeah.
like a Voodoo sound. I'm dead serious. Like, if you're familiar with the band, you're like, oh, okay, this is Voodoo Glow Skulls. They have their
it's
own.
It's Voodoo.
Yeah.
yeah. So
they
it's
have
like
their own
Voodoo
tones and yeah.
mixed with a little bit of me, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited, man.
No, I honestly can't wait to hear that. So you'll have to come back and play some for us. But
I also have a side project I need to tell you about really quick.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I don't know. Are you friends with Tokyo Hero? He's a tattooist, famous tattooer.
I don't know him. Nuh-uh.
Well, he's
I don't.
He's from Tokyo,
okay.
and he's this tattooer. And he's my friend, and he's awesome, and he plays guitar.
Okay.
And he got Ross, the bass player from GBH, and Pete, the drummer from Street Dogs.
Oh,
and
wow.
We just started jamming, but we had to stop jamming because of this.
Right.
But we wrote about three songs, and we were trying to get an EP together, and the band's called Word Attack.
Oh, man. Okay, dude.
Little
I can't.
Side thing.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear it.
I'm trying to just like, dude. I want to jam with you. I want to do as many projects as I can, dude. I'm trying to just like, I'm super into what Mike Patton does, dude.
He just makes everything like Mr. Bungle and.
Yeah, you know. Like I just want to play every kind of music. I just want to like experience it, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in Dillinger Escape Plan for like an EP. I heard.
Yeah, the one on Epitaph.
Yeah, the one on Epitaph. That's wild too. Yeah, I
so
get what you're saying.
So good.
Yeah,
it's
you've always
good.
Been, dude. You've always been around though, man. I'm telling you, you're like the mayor of like OC and Fullerton. I swear to God, everybody knows you down there though. You know? In the punk and hardcore scene, there's not another guy that is like more well known than you. You know?
Well, I don't know.
It's true.
You know?
It's totally
it's
true,
so,
man.
It's so
you're,
weird.
You're a man of the community. You know, that's why
hey,
I wanted to have you on because it's like you always try
that.
To you know. I always say that, like, you try to bring your friends up, you know, all
absolutely.
The time. You should. You should bring up your friends all the time. It's not
for
it's not
sure.
a competition. It's a collaboration. It's a celebration. And I've always felt that way with just music and just the whole SoCal scene vibe.
I'm stoked when all when other people's bands blow up. You know
dude,
what I mean?
I'm telling you, Ephraim, you were my first friend in Los Angeles. I didn't know anybody. I just moved out to LA, and it took like until today years old to like talk to you and reflect on life and you know. Having a show on Adobe and all that stuff, man. So
wow, dude, that's so crazy.
You've known me since I was like a kid. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, when I met you, I was like fresh out of high school. I was like,
dude,
going on the Warped Tour for the first time. I think that was like my like fourth tour I ever did. Like I did like three little like DIY ones when I was still in high school, and then I just thought I thought touring sucked because I was just like, you know. With the wrong people at the time, and we didn't know like what we were doing, and we're all friends now and stuff. But it's just, you know, you live and you learn, man. Life is always an experience.
And still all on the road and still all jamming.
Yeah,
our whole group of friends.
Dude, I've been touring around since before you could even like use a freaking a GPS. You know?
Oh, dude,
payphone, like quarters and payphones.
I know, dude.
What the hell, man? I was like 17. Like, what the hell am I doing? You know?
I remember. We used to like get to towns and like, it was hard to find a venue sometimes. You're looking at the map book, the Thomas Guide or whatever. And I remember we get to towns and sometimes we would like look for kids walking
around. Thomas
like,
Brothers.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a trip, man.
Yeah. And you're like, excuse me, how do I get to, wherever? And you go down the road and then you see Jimmy on the corner and.
Dude, it's great.
Yeah, it's
dude,
nuts.
So I actually really miss those days. I miss touring without cell phones and all that stuff, dude.
I know, man. Yeah, I feel that because all you had was each other, and you can just like look out the window and experience.
And you weren't bored.
No, at all. Maybe you'd watch like a DVD or something. Maybe that's as wild.
Oh,
as
totally.
Back then,
but,
you know, in the van.
But we weren't bored, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're with your friends.
We were not bored.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird. Some guy just like parked behind me. So the headlights came in. I'm all like, I keep looking. Like, what's going on? But yeah, we weren't bored. And like, it just seems like now everybody can't go like 3 seconds without being bored.
Right. Because there's so much going on all the time.
Yeah, instant gratification. Phone, phone. It's fucking weird, man.
Or Instagramification.
Oh! Exactly. I have moments on tour where I'll be like, hey, don't take a picture of this.
Yeah, just leave it be, you know?
Yeah, I want this for me.
I just want this moment to be, like, special.
Yeah.
You know? Dude. Yeah, I miss those days. But you know what? There's, like, some photos that I was going through. I got to find some and send them to you. But, man, I took, like... I don't know, like four disposable cameras that Warped Tour summer, you know, in 2002.
Yeah.
Some of them made it into like a Flogging Molly 20th anniversary box set.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
that's fucking awesome.
I submitted some photos and they asked me if I had any from like that year from like 2002. I was like, I got some.
That's fucking
whatever,
cool.
2001, 2002, whatever the pictures were. Yeah. But so.
Dude, that's so rad.
Yeah.
Dude, I miss Flogging Molly. I love that band, dude.
Oh,
those guys
the
are the best.
So, dude, there was a moment where, you know, after I was an I Am Ghost, I was working for their management company for like, like 3 months or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing that. I would go run their dry cleaning. I would help them set up like, you know, getting to the music video shoots, grabbing stuff for George when he needed, the drummer when he needed stuff, you know? And I did that for a few months and I ran their MySpace.
You ran their MySpace.
Yeah.
That was
still a thing. Yeah, but I mean, I've always loved those guys, and they've always treated me like family. Anytime I'm around. And,
man.
Last time I got to see them was 2 St. Patrick's ago, because I tried to make that a tradition, just going to the Palladium, and that's what I do. You know, that's my day to go.
Bad, dude,
they had a bar. Yeah, they had like a bar on stage. That was their production, and then like they were
it's
just
terrible.
Serving their friends. You know, but good band. Ephraim, gosh, we went. Oh man, we're almost out of time. I hate when this happens. So,
oh man, I'll talk to you about Flogging Molly for like 2 hours.
This call doesn't have to end, but
yeah.
The show is so close to being over. Ephraim, I just thank you, dude. Thank you so much again for coming
on.
And, you know,
thanks for letting me do this, dude. I'm just stoked to see you, man. This is crazy.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot I learned that I didn't know. You know, but,
well, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's what wild times, man. I hope we all get to go on the road this year, and you know. I appreciate you. That's all I'm saying. It's been a full year since I've seen you.
Genuinely now. Appreciate you, dude.
Yeah.
You're one of my best friends, dude. We've been friends for years, dude. We we always just reconnect, and it's always like I saw you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Man. I love that. So. Yeah, thank you so much again, dude. And I was going to ask you, could you plug some of the bands that, you know, can you just plug some of the socials just so people can get in touch with you if they, you know, if they want?
Everybody out there.
Yes.
At Death by Stereo Band, at Voodoo Glow Skulls, at Grupo Manic Hispanic, at Word Attack CA. Check out, I'm part owner of a skate record shop called Program. Check out at Program, 2 M's and an E, European style. Program.
Okay. So, yeah, what's your Instagram? What's your Instagram, man?
Instagram is F by Stereo, EFBY Stereo.
I love it. Ephraim, thanks so much again, and come on the show when you got new music, and I'd love to play it. So,
dude, thank you. That's awesome. I love you.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I love you, everybody.